Welcome in Braves Today, bravestoday.com. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. It's all brought to you by plainscoffee.com. Go to promo code Braves. You can put that in. You get 10% off and get it shipped right to your door. Lindsey, we're finally here. This is Christmas for a lot of fans, if they are baseball fans in general. Works out great for us, especially for pod reasons that the game got pushed back from a Thursday to a Friday. And speaking of which, opening day roster, since they were supposed to play on Thursday, I'm assuming it will stay the same on Friday and not going to move. But any surprises in the lineup for you?
Not a one. I think the only real surprise you had, and I talked about this on the site and, you know, our writing and things like that, was you felt like you knew the opening day roster unless a veteran came loose. And in fact, Jesse Chavez came loose. Jackson Stevens is the one who lost a roster spot because of that. He elected free agency rather than Gwinnett. But the official opening day roster that came out Thursday morning, no surprises, right? Five infielders, five outfielders, two catchers, and a DH. And then the pitchers, the five pitchers that we knew, your bullpen set. No surprises here. Some of my observations, though, I do like.
Okay.
Is I like how many lefties you have in the pen now. Because last year, yeah, for a good part of the year, AJ Minter was it. And we talked in the postseason, that series against Philly, how you had Minter and not really anybody else. And so you couldn't use Minter to open the game for you because you needed to save him for a key pivotal moment. Well, this year, you've got Minter back. You've got Aaron Bummer. You've got Dylan Lee. You've got Tyler Matzek. You've got four lefties in your bullpen. I can't remember a time Atlanta's had not only four lefties, but four good lefties. And so, like, you see how Atlanta didn't just rest on their laurels. They went and tried to improve this roster by getting more velocity, more lefties in the pen, by adding another postseason starting option in Chris Sale, and raising the ceiling of left field by replacing Pilar and Rosario with Adam Duvall and Jared Kelnick. So,
yeah,
no big surprises on this roster, but I honestly think it's one of the best rosters in all of baseball.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that. I know that everybody loves to point to the Dodgers, number one, for being the best roster in baseball. Some have even looked to the American League and talked about other, you know, Yankees always get thrown out there just because of how much money they spend on their particular roster. That doesn't, just because you throw money at it, doesn't make it great. You and I have discussed it, and it's funny that we're playing Philly, that the Braves are playing Philly, because I think Phillies have a great roster as far as opening the season up. And you could throw some others out there that with some acquisitions that got made, but top to bottom, from pen to backups to, who even the two platooning at catcher, nobody has that sort of battery in all of baseball. So I think the Braves, now you understand why they've taken it so serious in the offseason that it's a win at all mentality, because I think they see in their clubhouse what they have. And they're like, we should be winning every game we play at this point.
Like, the World Series or bust mentality makes sense. And I know I'm going to come off as biased if you're a fan of a different team. But every one of those teams you mentioned has significant question marks in their outfield, the back of their rotation, something like that. Like, look at Philly. Johan Rojas, Brandon Marsh. Marsh had surgery in spring training on his knee. Rojas has, there's questions about whether he can hit at the major league level. He did great in a small sample last year, I know, but there's still long-term questions about that. The Los Angeles Dodgers, for being as good as their top three or four or five are, their outfield doesn't really strike a lot of fear in anybody from an offensive perspective. Atlanta, I mean, you mentioned the catchers. There's no team that has two catchers as good as that. These are 20, like, Darno was an all-star in 22. Murphy was an all-star in 23. Like, no other team has two catchers that were both all-stars in the last 2 years. Your outfield, your Michael Harris batted almost 300 for two straight years now.
Yeah.
Despite coming up mid-season in 22, and despite being hurt in for part of 23. I mean, this is top to bottom one of the best rosters in all of baseball, and it makes sense that they are World Series or bust. And if you think about it, this is Atlanta's best chance you've had in a while, and depending on how free agency goes, you may not have as good of a chance next year, because you have to remember there's four players you could conceivably, five, I think, you could conceivably lose after this season. Max Fried's a free agent. Charlie Morton is old and a free agent.
Yeah.
Mentor's a free agent. Travis d'Arnaud and Marcelo Zuna have club options, but they could both potentially be done after this season as well. So, like, this is not your best chance. We don't know what's going to happen in free agency. Lord knows Alex Anthopoulos can run miracles, but
yep.
It looks like you have as many pieces as you've had in a long time to make a deep run in the postseason, and we'll have an idea of how Atlanta's going to do, because you're facing the team who, last time you saw them, they knocked you out of the postseason for the second straight year in Philly.
It's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com. Get more information on what you can do there, as well as order your coffee, where they're going to go ahead and wait till you make that order, and then they're going to roast those beans, and then they're going to package them up, and then they're going to send them to your front doorstep. And you can even get flavored coffee. Not that I recommend that, because I'm a regular coffee type guy, or if you're not even a coffee person whatsoever, you also have the teas that you can get as well. Again, it's plainscoffee.com. Promo code Braves. Get your 10% off. This is roster related before I get into, because we were going to talk pitching matchups, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. Okay. Is they haven't released the lineup yet, but do you think lineup wise we'll see anything that's just out of the ordinary? I know we won't from top to, I don't know, the number five slot. But after that, I'm not real sure what he plans on doing.
The most probable opening day lineups that we saw towards the end of spring training, I think you know through seven what it's going to be, okay. Right? Michael Harris has pretty consistently been number six. Your catcher spot, Sean Murphy or d'Arnaud, has been seven. I think my questions will be, we saw a lineup that had Kelnick at eight and Arcia at nine. We saw a lineup that had Arcia at eight and Kelnick at nine. You put Arcia at eight, that means you've got back-to-back righties, and that's not really a thing you've had all year, but yep. They've also talked about getting Kelnick to bat in that nine spot so that, I think we discussed this the other day, he gets better pitches to hit because right yep. behind him is Ronald Acuña Jr. And so I'm curious there, and then Atlanta's been pretty good about when you swap, like when they swapped the left fielders or when they swapped the catchers last year, they didn't change the lineup, right? It's just that was the catcher spot, and that's where Murphy or Duvall batted. When you see Adam Duvall enter the lineup for game three when you're facing Ranger Suarez, do you also bat him ninth, or do you move him up to eight or seven or something like that?
Right.
Little curious about that, but what does it say about Braves fans when that's the biggest questions we have about the lineup, whereas a team that's a contender like the Yankees made a trade yesterday for John Birdie from the Marlins and might start him today at third base. Like, what does it say about, not to say we're spoiled, but what does it say about the stability that the Braves can offer a fan base when these are our biggest questions, is who bats eighth and who bats ninth, where other teams are asking who plays third base tomorrow? So,
right. Yeah. And I saw that. And I also didn't know, I know we've seen Harris consistently at that sixth spot. If that doesn't go well in this first series, do they look at throwing him back to the nine where he's comfortable and then moving people around? But I still think I'm with you. I think he stays at that sixth slot at least this opening weekend.
Yeah. And Brian Snitker hasn't really been I'm trying to think of the right word here. He's not really been super quick to make a change to the lineup if something's not working. Like, look how long it took last year to get Olsen from number two to cleanup. And so I think you'd have to see Michael Harris struggle for a good month or so before they even looked at moving him down, simply because that's not Brian Snitker's whole bag. Like, he doesn't like to make changes just to make changes with the lineup. If nobody got hurt, I legitimately wouldn't be surprised if, this is a perfect world, obviously, but if everybody was healthy for every single game, I wouldn't be surprised to see the same nine guys in the same nine spots for 162 games. I think this is probably the only team where you could imagine that would happen if everybody was healthy for every single game this year, Whereas every other team has different lineups every day or every week, depending on the series, depending on the matchup and all of that. I don't really see Atlanta making a lot of changes other than who is the catcher and do you change left fielders because of a lefty on the mound?
You mentioned matchups. You mentioned the mound. Well, that's what we're going to talk about right now. Pitching matchups
good
over
segue.
The weekend. Yeah.
You're a pro with this, man. Golly.
Is Strider gets that extra day of rest that we talked about him losing because of the rain down in Florida. Now he gets it back. He will go on Friday against Wheeler. Then it's Freed Nola. Then it's Sale Suarez. You and I have discussed this in length. Philly fans are about to jump in our mentions. Strider has been absolutely the word dominant is not even a worthy name for what he's been in the regular season against the Phillies. So he's probably licking his chops to begin this series.
I don't think folks realize how good Spencer Strider has been against the Phillies in the regular season. He has 8 career appearances. 7 of those were starts. His first one was relief appearance. In those 8 appearances, he's 8-0. It's not that the team has won all 8 of those games. He's gotten a decision and gotten the win in all 8. 47 and a third innings, 10 runs. It's a 190 ERA. He's walked 10 batters. He struck out 72. His whip is 739 against Philly. It's for any opponent he's faced more than 3 times in the regular season. He has the best ERA and best whip against Philly. Like, he's been better against Philadelphia in the regular season than any other team. And again, I hear Philly fans in the comments already saying, what's he done in the postseason? He's 0-3 in the postseason. And a lot of the ERA, it's a 540 ERA, a lot of that's because he got blown up in 22 coming off that oblique injury. He gave it 5 runs in like 2 1/3 innings. Last year in October, 12 2/3 innings, 4 earned runs, struck out 15, but took the loss in both games because Atlanta lost both games in low-scoring affairs. So 0-3 in the postseason. But again, 4 runs in 12 2/3 innings, which isn't amazing, but it's not it's not awful. But regular season, he's literally never lost to Philadelphia. He's always gotten the win. And it's kind of hard to see that changing in 2024. Nobody on the Phillies, with the exception of Brandon Marsh, who's batting like 364, has a better batting average than like 222 against Strider. In the regular
season. That's unbelievable.
Again,
yeah, in the regular season. Yeah. And have fun, Philly fans. I know you're going to talk about it, but Lindsay even brought it up. We know the postseason is not the same. That's also 162 games away as far as we're talking.
Got to get there first.
Yeah, got to get there first. So, and then we back that up where this literally, this feels like a playoff series to begin the season. I mean, it's division rivals. It feels like the playoffs, even though we haven't even played game one yet. And the reason being is because you back it up with Freed and Nola the very next day.
And these are the guys, they were opening day starters for their teams last year. And now they're both in game two. But think of it more like co-aces than it is as far as a demotion to game two. Freed is like 4-4 with a 3.62 ERA against Philly in his regular season career, 19 appearances. His last 5 starts, he's got like a 2.89 ERA. Nola's in a similar situation. Nola's like 15-10 with a 3.40 ERA against Atlanta in his career. I think it's like 33 starts, more against Atlanta than any other team. But his last 5 games, it's like a 3.19 ERA. So they've done really well recently, but the thing that I noticed when I was kind of going through and doing the preview of the pitching matchups is Freed's kind of got mixed results against Philly's top hitters. JT Realmuto is batting 342. Trey Turner's batting like 367. But Kyle Schwarber's batting 150. Alec Bohm is batting 211. Even Bryce Harper, 276 average, but he hasn't hit a regular season home run against Freed since 2019. And then Aaron Nola, he's doing really well against some Braves. Michael Harris has a career 176 against him. Orlando Arcia is batting 056.
Yeah.
But then Austin Riley's batting 412 with 5 homers. Ronald Acuña Jr. is batting 326 with 4. So it feels like neither of these guys have completely shut down the opposing team, but they've been pretty good, and they're both really familiar with this opponent. And The rosters aren't that different from the last time they played. So really excited to kind of see what happens. Freed, Nola, but another really great matchup between these two teams.
And then, of course, the finale of the series taking place on Sunday, and that will be Sale and Suarez going head-to-head. You and I talking beforehand, that's like Bryce Elder facing Bryce Elder this on Sunday.
It's like the only lefty-lefty matchup of the whole thing, and there's a lot of unknowns here, right? Like Chris Sale made one start against Philly last year, and that's the last time he's faced them since 2017. He gave up three runs on seven hits in six innings in May, struck out 10 batters against Philly. But then, like, Ranger Suarez, I don't know what it is about Ranger Suarez. The stuff isn't necessarily impressive, right? Like, you look at Stuff Plus, Bryce Elder grades out better than Ranger Suarez. But in his career, including the postseason, Ranger Suarez has a 270 ERA against Atlanta. And Atlanta crushes lefty starters to the point where teams stack their rotation to not have them face, to not have their lefty starters face Atlanta. And Ranger Suarez is the exception to it. I don't understand why it works. And I'm really curious to see if Atlanta's finally figured it out. I'm really curious to see how Philly approaches Chris Sale. Because again, I mean, they had a little bit of success against him last year, three runs in six innings, but they also struck out 10 times. Only one dude walked. And honestly, I'm really intrigued to see what happens on Sunday.
Ranger Suarez is basically the pitching version of what Dan Uggla was to the Braves when he was with the Marlins, where he
somehow crushes them, just kills them.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and I don't like that, but I mean, it's something that we will see, and I'll be curious to see how Sale does. I mean, he had kind of his spring was fairly interesting, and I also am curious to see how long he's going to go. What's the hook on him on Sunday as well?
Yeah, like we've talked about managing Sale's innings. Do you see him go five and dive? Or does he get to go a little bit deeper into that game and you start limiting the innings per outing later in the year? It's a big question there. Speaking of spring, Suarez looked to be about 1.5 to 2 mile an hour down on everything in spring. I wonder if that was just the intensity's not the same in spring, or if that was something to be mindful of. Like, if I remember right from watching this, I want to say Wheeler was in the same boat, right? Like, Wheeler was also down a little bit in spring. And so, like, he was hitting 94, 95 instead of his usual 96, 97. I'm assuming it's just not getting 100% up in spring for both guys, but something to watch for. I feel like Strider had better velocity in spring than he usually does. Sale had better velocity in spring than he usually does. Freed was a little bit in that same boat as Wheeler and Suarez. So we'll see what happens. But if Atlanta does finally figure out Ranger Suarez, I think it's going to be because either, one, they just finally figure out whatever it is weird that he's doing, or his velocity's not the same, and therefore the stuff doesn't play as well as it usually does.
It's funny that you mentioned Freed being a little bit off as opposed to previous years. I wonder how much of that goes into what you just said about Suarez. Did he dial stuff back for spring? And the reason I say that is that's totally based off his post-game interview that I referenced you earlier in one of the earlier pods earlier in the week, where it sounds like he had so much stuff he was working on in the spring. Mm-hmm. I think dominating ball games was not on his to-do list. I think it was more along the lines of get right for the regular season. So I am curious, too, on that Saturday matchup, what Freed shows up at the ballpark that day. Is it anywhere near what we saw in spring?
Yeah, that's the unknown part of these first matchups of the year is how stretched out are guys? What's the velocity going to do? How ready are they for the regular season? Because in some cases, like Freed, like you said, like Wheeler, like Suarez, they didn't look like their normal selves in spring, but was that intentional? Was that controllable or not? That's kind of the big question here. And I guess we're going to do picks. I've got Atlanta going 1-1 in the first two games. I don't know which one's a win, which one's a loss, but Atlanta going 1-1 in the first two games. It's all going to come down to game three. I think Sale's going to surprise a lot of people in his first game. So I've got Atlanta winning the series 2-1, winning one of the first two, and then winning game three.
It's a sweep in Philly for me. I'm going to go ahead and give them all three of the games. I'm going to be that sunshine pumper that always does. And that just says that we'll probably go 0-3 and get swept since I said that. But I will wear that crown. Sorry, Drake Baldwin, didn't get to you today, man. We will eventually and at least talk about some of your minor league numbers. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves, 10% off of anything that you purchase there. He's Lindsey Crosby. A couple of great articles up right now, one about Ronald Acuna Jr., as well as some winners and losers from the spring that Lindsey put up. I suggest you go read those. You'll enjoy those immensely, especially while you're killing time since the Braves got pushed back a day and you won't be able to watch baseball until after lunch on Friday. I mean, you can watch other teams, but it's not going to be as fun as watching Strider on the Phillies.
I am, though. I'm really watching like 10 games the next day or two.
I've already got it up in the office already. Just watching the lead up to what's coming up, and there's not even anything being played right now. So he's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. Go to BravesToday.com. Find out more information as well. Lindsey, as always, I greatly appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, buddy.